Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Relationship Podcast. Today is Monday, November 27th, and I hope all of you had a wonderful and love-filled Thanksgiving, as well as a calorie-filled Thanksgiving. I just hope you had a really nice Thanksgiving and a Thanksgiving weekend, and that you were able to spend time with family, loved ones, friends, whatever that looks like for you. We had a very nice Thanksgiving, my husband and I. We spent the day with some friends of ours, which was really nice. Both of our families are out of state, and we weren't able to make it home this year. So we spent the day with the friends that we generally go and hang out with on Thanksgiving if we aren't going home to our families. And so they are very kind and always host us for Thanksgiving. And it was wonderful as usual. So we ate some turkey and we had some pie and watched a little football, and it was just a really, really nice day. And then we spent the rest of the weekend putting up Christmas lights. So it was quite the eventful weekend. Here at the GSMC Relationship Podcast, we, of course, want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, although I know it's over, but now a happy holiday season as we are heading into December. As part of that, we are going to have a replay of an episode today for the podcast, and that is a replay of episode number 4 originally, the title of which is Communication and Commitment. And in that podcast, John talks about the differences between the way that men and women sometimes communicate, and the different ways that they might approach commitment. He also talks about your reputation and asks, what is your reputation? If you were to meet someone, what would they say about you? Or what would they think about you initially, whether they were just meeting you or whether they had heard about you before, or whether they were meeting you and spending some time with you? Would they think that you bring drama or that you bring peace to the relationship? So we are going to turn to that replay of the episode with John Johnson, and I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you have a wonderful week. We will talk to you next time.
Hello, and welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson, and today I'm going to be talking about commitment, relationships, and anything about relationships. That's basically what the show is about, but I'm prompted to talk about this. There was a friend of mine that sent a link to a Facebook page, and it was a very interesting video, and it was a young lady who was talking about some of the communication aspects of men and women and how people don't want to be vulnerable, and guys just want to hang out, and the whole project of trying to get started into a relationship, having commitments and stuff. And I thought it was very interesting, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit today. And what I'm going to take a crack at it from a different direction. I think what makes a person seem like they want to commit, and another thing is what makes a person look like you want to be committed to. So if I'm looking at you and I'm looking to say, okay, why do I want to be in a relationship with you? What makes you attractive? And there's a lot of different ways we can cut at this, but I think from looking at this, from the conversation that I was having, it was interesting that the perception of guys just simply want to hang out because they don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to put themselves out there to be hurt. And I think that's probably the overreaching thing, but it's all the business that happens in between. And it just kind of floored me because I hadn't really thought about it in that concept, but it started to intrigue me because I thought about, okay, well, yeah, I've kind of been in that space. You know, the thing that happens is people posture. People figure out, okay, what can I get out of this relationship and how hard is it going to be? How much work do I have to put into it? And I think that ultimately is where it starts, because some people are easy to be in a relationship with, and some seem like they're a lot of work. They're high maintenance. You know, we have all kinds of names for that, but we'll stick to the nice ones. That high maintenance, whether it's men or women, it doesn't matter. It's just that when you look at somebody, what attracts you to them? Sometimes it's their outward appearance. Sometimes it's their reputation. I mean, some women have a reputation of being easy to get. That's from speaking from a guy's standpoint, and that's attractive because there's a sexual component involved in that aspect. Some women seem like they're fun. And vice versa, some guys seem like they're fun. They want to be out there. They want to have fun. And, you know, give it to the guys that aren't always looking to just go for the sex thing, because women do like to have friends. But I think when you start talking about it from that standpoint, when we get to that part about, well, guys just want to hang out, they don't want to commit, well, there is an opportunity there where there could be a breakdown in understanding. Because if you just want friends, what do friends do? They hang out. They don't necessarily go out and have a full-blown relationship. They go out to pizza, they go out to beer, they go to baseball games or hockey, roller derby, whatever it is out there. But that's on a friendship level. So, you know, if you're talking about having just having something that's more platonic, I mean, if I could use it in that context, then that's what you're going to get. But if you're really talking about relationship type stuff, we're talking about we want to have a commitment, then you really have to start on having that kind of conversation with somebody and doing those kind of commitment type activities and talk about it like it's a relationship. Not that we're just buddies, because that there, it starts it on a different place. Friends do things because they have similar interests. And there is the commitment to do something is, I mean, as a friend, yeah, if you're going to be there, be there. I mean, don't flake. But the stakes are not as high when it's just a friendship sort of thing. You're there because you want to be there, not because you have to. And that's part of the definition of friends. I mean, there's common interest. When you take that situation and you then make it a committed relationship or something that's more invested, where people have this interdependence. See, that's a different status. And you quite often can get into a position where it is an imposition, but because it's your partner, you're going to be there, you're going to support them. See, that changes the whole dynamic of the relationship. And when we're talking about guys not committing, and picking guys in particular, because typically my audience is going to be women, then look at it from that aspect. They're not treating this like it's a relationship because they don't know that it's supposed to be treated like one. Or what signals are you giving? Are you giving the signal that you just want to be buddies? Because here's another thing, and I ask this of both partners. You see, if you have that reputation of being a player, so to speak, and you know what I'm talking about, that you have lots of partners that you do things with, then you know it's really hard to be exclusive with something like that. And guys are going to be real tentative. Yeah, or they're going to take it from the standpoint that, hey, you know what? I'm not going to commit to that because there runs the possibility that they're going to trade up. And guys are very sensitive to that. I know I would be. I mean, I don't think I'd want to spend a lot of time with somebody and then find out that I'm, you know, on the outs. And women, I think you know what I'm talking about. You know, you feel like a guy is just going to get you for all he can, whether it's the money, whether it's for the sex, or you've got a nice car or a nice place to stay or something like that, going to come there and hang out and not really give a commitment. Well, if you're the kind of person that has a lot of partners, has a lot of friends you're doing things with, no one's going to feel special. And I think that being able to make a person feel special with you is what's going to change. It's going to change the dynamic in that relationship. And I think that's something you have to work on, because there are people that are awfully busy in the world. They have lots of connections, lots of social connections. They do lots of things, and that's great. But if they're perpetually busy, how do you possibly think you can lock down with somebody like that? It doesn't generally happen. And you really wait for somebody that has some space in their life for you. Now, I've been on both sides of this. I've certainly been on the side where I've been perpetually busy. But I think that was done for me because emotionally I just needed to get caught up with some things to to get finished, because there are a lot of things that I put on hold for relationships only to come to find out, oops, you know, I got to go find myself again. But if you're on the receiving end of that, you're definitely going to feel like I'm not that special. I'm not that important. So it may mean that you're going to have to carve out time in your life to be with somebody in particular. And when you can do that, then you can start to push the buttons about saying, okay, we need to change the status of this relationship. And that works for both partners. It's, you know, either one can bring this conversation to the table. And for the guys that are listening, I guarantee if you are willing to bring this conversation to the table, you will get major points, because most guys don't do this. They avoid the conversation because they're afraid of whatever they're afraid of. They could be afraid of commitment. Maybe they feel like they don't want to cut off their other situations, other relationships. And I'm not suggesting that they're trying to cut off themselves from other women. But guys tend to like to be with their guy friends. That's an important social aspect to their existence. And I think it helps them decompress. Because quite often with our significant other, we don't necessarily create the network. When we get into some of these relationships, the status of, we don't necessarily create the network or the opportunity to be able to decompress with our significant other. We find other ways to do it. But I think there will be room, and I'll talk about that, how to create that space in your relationship, in your primary relationship. But it's good to have outlets, healthy outlets, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's doing rock climbing, hiking, cycling, whatever, going to the movies once in a while, whatever that is, it's good to have a creative outlets. It's good for the mind. It's good for the soul. And in a minute, I'm going to talk about your relationship and how you can create some space to have some honesty. We'll be right back after this.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back. I'm John Johnson, and this is the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast. And I was talking about, obviously, I want you to have a great relationship with your partner. And having a great relationship means good communication. So here's something to consider. Think about four areas in which you and your partner have difficulty in, and I want you to write those down. Now, if you had to share with your partner what those areas of difficulty were, how comfortable do you feel in exposing yourself? Now, does it bring sort of a quiver? Are you kind of worried that if you start talking about this thing, you're going to lose containment? And by that, I mean it blows up and it becomes an argument, and you can't get the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. Well, that means that's an area we need to work on. How do you do that? Well, some techniques. One, I think writing it down to start with, so you can keep your ideas straight. If you need a counselor, a church, you can get a therapist, read some self-help books, develop some techniques on how you can communicate with your partner. But I think that's a very important first step. You got to learn to be able to express yourself. And I think between the two, you have to learn some trust. You have to create a space. And in one of the other podcasts, I talked about the importance of creating a space. So there definitely has to be trust in order to do that. But here's the deal. You write down what it is that you're afraid of. And this will give you clues as to where you and your partner can do some serious work. Now, it works on both sides. You both do this. you let your partner read your list and take a crack at it. We're going to give it a time limit. Say maybe, two or three minutes so that you can vent. Now, believe me, that's a long time, 2 or 3 minutes to vent, because it could probably be pretty hard to sit through that. But as you're listening to your partner, think about what they're going through, what brought them to that place, and why this is an issue. And while you're doing that, I want you to feel like you have compassion for them. Because understandably, confronting someone about with a fear is terrifying for some. Both sexes, both partners experience this. I mean, don't figure because he's a big burly guy, he pumps a lot of iron, he's got muscles from here to here, that he's really going to be comfortable doing this. And oftentimes you can tell how difficult it is for a person when you look at how angry they get when they're talking about something. Oftentimes that anger is an expression of fear. So when somebody gets really worked up about a subject that they're talking about, there's probably a lot of fear underneath that. And I've always applauded individuals who could speak things in a calm and rational way, which says to me that they've done a lot of work, or I would hope to be able to. It represents that they've sort of mastered some of the techniques of being able to have a conversation, because granted, not everybody can do this. And when you're talking to someone and then trying to get them to understand your point of view, you want them to buy into it, you generally don't do a very good job if you're yelling, because that's a big turnoff, because it feels like it's a command, it's being forced, and you're not being given an opportunity to understand it. I think after you're hearing it, or it's being said, then let the other person ask a few questions about it, because we definitely want to come to an understanding. And here's the thing about communication. It's amazing what people believe after you say something to them, what they comprehend, because there's what you want them to interpret, and then there's what they interpret you meant. And this thing gets really crossed up. So then when they ask a question back, that helps them get clarification. And I know some people really get bothered at that part, because they don't want to be asked questions. They just want to be able to talk, because they just want to say what they got to say and then get out of it. That's it. Well, yeah, you got to give a person an opportunity to get clarity here, because clarification is so important, because breakdowns of communication happen all the time. They happen all throughout this thing. And in order to keep it straight and keep it linear, that's probably a word that you can understand. The guys can really understand. They're very linear thinkers. Women, it's more a more feminine trait. They tend to be more abstract thinkers, or can think more globally, where guys tend to be linear thinkers, or masculine people tend to be more linear thinkers, because they just want to go straight to the point. And it saves a lot of the going into the weeds. But that's just two different styles of thinking. But understand that sometimes you have linear thinkers and people that aren't linear thinkers. And when they're trying to communicate, it's a big spaghetti mess. So keeping that straight, we all have fears, and that's going to raise the stakes. And keep it limited to a few topics, one or two. I know I mentioned four. You can write down four or five things, but let's take them one or two at a time. And for that reason, it allows us to move through it and not just sweep it under the rug, because there's nothing like sweeping something under the rug, making a person feel like they're taken advantage of, or being not given a voice, or that they're feeling individual. Something I've experienced myself is when you don't feel like you are appreciated. And I'm sure that happens throughout. Long-term relationships can certainly have their moments when things aren't hunky-dory. But usually feeling taken for granted is one of the deal breakers, because some people can take it for a long time, and others have a very short time frame on that. It says, yeah, the minute things start to go bad, they'll bail. Well, again, different styles, and you should probably know something about yourself to be able to send a warning signal, because it's nothing more shocking than to find out that your partner just quit the relationship and you didn't know it. We all have fears, and that's going to raise the stakes. That means that when we're putting ourselves out there, we're definitely going to feel like, okay, I'm taking a chance here. I don't want to be rejected. How do I say this without sounding like I'm attacking, but having get my feelings heard? Because that's important. And again, this has worked for both partners because both of you are going to get a chance to do this. So you say what you need to say, being respectful, being honest, but respectful, tactful, not yelling, calm voices. And then we get the trade because both of us need an opportunity to speak. No one wants to feel taken advantage of. Nobody wants to feel dismissed. Those are horrible feelings. And believe me, there's all kinds of reactions that people give when they're feeling hurt. Been there, done that. I think all of us have. So give it to your partner to be able to give them a voice. And then go out and celebrate the fact that you've accomplished something. It's not easy. Some people do it with counselors. Some people read, you know what, here's the thing. If you read a book, share it. Read it together. That's something that a lot of couples don't do anymore, is actually read together and pick something that's healthy. I mean, I know we have different subjects and different interests, but we're talking about relationships here. Pick a relationship book, something you think is interesting, and share it with your partner. Highlight some things. Give them an opportunity to see what you're interested in. And I think it's pretty fascinating because sometimes these things they rekindle other things in the relationship, and it reminds you why you got together in the first place. I remember one of the first things that would attract me to somebody is how well they communicated, how much they were able to show empathy. And I mean, I wasn't necessarily interested in all of their drama, because somebody that starts talking about all their drama early in a relationship, oops, red flag. It's not a good thing. I want somebody that's worked out their issues. But that's a very attractive thing to someone who can problem solve. As you begin to wind down the discussion with your partner, then remember something that you're in it together, that we need to celebrate the fact that we came together to talk about it. And how do you want to do that? Whether it's go out and have a pizza, go get ice cream, take a walk together, hold hands, whatever it is that is part of your bonding exercise, remember to do that. Because remember, you're in it together. You're in it to solve the problems. You're not in it to create more problems. But we're creating a space so that we can have a better, healthier relationship. And we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Hi there, and we're back. In this segment, I'm going to talk about a few things, but one that just kind of came up in a conversation recently. It was age different relationships. And I'm talking to something that's a little more appropriate. We've all seen the huge disparity in ages where you might have someone that's 20 and another person that's 60. I'm not casting judgment on that, but I'm not so much speaking to those disparaging differences, but I'm talking about somebody who may be 25 dating a person who is 35, 36, maybe 40. And men and women obviously see things, have different approaches. A young man who is interested or attracted to a woman who is older is said to probably have mommy issues. Okay, I'm not necessarily agreeing with that, but I think there is a difference when you're talking about a young man who's been raised around women, who has sisters, that sort of thing, because I think they see the role of women in their life a little bit differently. And if you're a young man and you're not necessarily looking for to have children, but you want to date older because you happen to have a respect for a woman who's a little more established and who probably doesn't want kids. And at that age, they probably still have children, who may still be in the house. And a man of his mid-20s may find an older woman very sexy, very attractive. And we're not just talking about going to bed and having sex and that sort of things. I mean, that's enticing too. But I'm talking about the mentality, you know, some of the interests. And I'm not discounting sex. I think sex is great. But some of the reasons men like to date, younger men like to date older women, happen to be because the perception is that, or the men's experience is that women at their age are getting into the dating scene and they're dealing with different kinds of guys, and men of that age range tend to oftentimes act a little immature. And, you know, they're trading partners. Isn't a lot of consistency. And, you know, it takes a while before a man tends to grow out of that and starts to become a little more stable. I don't know how many of us know people that are in their 20s that have really got their life together. I mean, they're still experimenting. They're still learning. And again, this is all about emotional maturity. So it's not the chronological thing. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. They think because you're a certain age, then you should act a certain way. I think you have to understand a person's emotional maturity level to figure out where they are in life. And a lot of men in their 20s are emotionally much more mature because they've had the life's experience. Maybe they've been responsible for things in the household that they were raised in. And when they set out in life, they're a little further ahead than maybe some of their peers. Now, on the other side, I speak to women and why women would be attracted to an older man. And some people say that she's got daddy issues. I'm not talking about it from that aspect. But I think the attraction is younger men who are just after a quick lay, meaning just wanting to have sex, don't want to really buy into the relationship part of being with someone. Women are trying to learn or trying to give themselves something better than what they've already experienced. They're probably going to go for an older guy. And if for what it is to be treated well, I think everyone should expect that. And sometimes that's something that's not going to happen until they start dating somebody who's a little more established, who understands a little more about dating etiquette, meaning for women it might be opening doors, pulling the chair out, coming to pick them up, and paying for a date, or even better yet, making plans. I mean, how about that? I mean, that's something that a lot of people miss, actually making plans so somebody has something to look forward to. And that's actually very attractive. That's very sexy. That puts it out there that you actually have an interest in someone. And that's something worth investing in. And that goes for both sides. If a woman is available, and I'm speaking as a guy, if a woman is available and wants to make plans, that's great, because it gives you the idea that she's actually interested in you and that she's setting aside time. The perception, and I'm going to deal with this perception, the perception is that if you don't make plans, then it might suggest that you have lots of other options. And that's not attractive to someone that wants to be considered special. I'm not saying that that's how it is, because I know lots of people that don't plan ahead, but that doesn't suggest that they're out dating a lot of other people. It's just that some people are just terrible at planning. And sometimes you have to be good at suggesting things for people like that. I mean, if they have other qualities that are good, then they're probably worth investing in, and they may just lack something in that one particular area. But people who are busy tend to be people who are busy. And, you know, there's a thing, there's an old saying, it says, if you want something done, give it to somebody who's busy. that's probably because they're doers. And that's an attractive person to be around. But again, trying to balance this thing about availability. Again, making plans, that's a great first step. Women being attracted to younger men. And in my illustration, I gave a woman who's in her mid to late 30s, maybe 40s, and is attracted to a man who's in his mid-20s. What women tend to experience, and I'm hearing from women, so I'm not just making this up, is guys who are chronologically in their age range, not necessarily emotionally, but chronologically in their age range, sometimes are a bit jaded. And what happens is that jadedness tends to have a lot of negative implications. It's guys who aren't going to be responsible, guys that don't want to commit, guys that don't want to put themselves out into a relationship and make a person feel special. Well, women are going to reject that and find someone, a partner, man or woman, but to find a partner that's going to give them that, you know, those butterflies. And to say about older men who are dating younger women, that's, again, socially, that has been accepted for many, many years. But there is a stigma about it, that when you're dating somebody really young, that's just like robbing the cradle. Well, I'm not advocating that perception, but I think, again, we should start looking at emotional maturity when people connect. And that's a huge factor that sort of, I think, mitigates these differences that you see in people when you look at a couple together. You know, there's obviously something in common, and I'm willing to give it a thumbs up. If they're willing to put it out there and be together and hang out and have fun, you know, go for it. Because I think life's about being happy. Here's a topic that I'm going to talk about briefly, and it is, when do you share your kids with a potential new partner? Obviously, it's something that you and the partner need to talk about first, because when you get kids involved, there's going to be emotional things that come up. I mean, kids have their attachments, and when you sort of upset that balance, their reaction to this can actually have big implications on the relationship, at least potential new one. And I think you should wait for a while before you introduce a kid into the relationship, basically because the partners, the two primary people that we're talking about, have to decide where they are going with the relationship. If they're just going to be friends, then you can do the fun kinds of things together. You can do the blended family, kind of go out for picnics and stuff and have fun. Or if it's a much more committed type of relationship, then it's not just like relatives going out and having a fun day, but you're planning things. Because something to think about is, the kids watch you. They watch your interaction. And how you respond to your partner, is this thing going to turn into sleepovers or something like that? See, these are areas in which you want to be thinking about well ahead of the game, because you're setting an example for how relationships are going to go for your kids. And they want to know that their stability is not going to be upset by this new person coming in, but they're also going to use that as an example about how they're going to behave. And believe it, that they're going to talk about it. They're going to talk about it with their friends. And, you know, kids don't necessarily keep things under wraps. You know, they don't necessarily know adult conversation should not be had outside of, you know, the family sort of thing. So you actually have to raise your kids to be respectful of that, because certainly, you know, your business is your business. And that's another reason why you need to talk to them. But kids have to be a certain level of maturity to be able to understand that. And, you know, you're going to run into that. You're going to run into that. And if you have an ex that's obviously going to get wind of it, you know, if they're in the picture, if they're around, you're doing the divorce thing or separation thing or however it is, and the kids are going to be going to the other partner, then, you know, there's going to be some blended conversations. And that's, I'm euphemistically speaking about it and just trying to be nice, but the kids are going to talk about what they see, and your ex may want to have judgment on that. So, you know, these are important conversations. But having a conversation with your new partner about the kids is certainly something you're going to have. As far as when to introduce kids in the relationship, it depends on their maturity level. And certainly, I think doing the sleepover thing is something that you should weigh way, 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 way down the road. Way down the road. That's not something you want to do right away, because I think it sends the wrong message to kids. You are their example. So what you do is what they perceive as being right. The difference between right and wrong is not what you say, but it's what you do. I'm John Johnson. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast. I want to thank you for listening.
I hope you enjoyed that replay of an episode by our host, John Johnson. I hope you will join me next week when we will have another new episode. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, any app that you use for your mobile device, and you can follow us on social media. We would love to hear from you and interact with you on social media. You can find us at GSMC Relationship on Facebook and on Twitter. So I hope, again, you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you have a wonderful week coming up, and I will talk to you again next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.